Sebastian, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm very well, Laura. Thanks for having me back. It's been too long.
I have way too long. So let's talk about this. In 48 hours, the president did a 180 on his view on Syria. For those of us who supported him, and I was among his first supporters, I actually was heartened by Donald Trump's view that getting involved in another Middle East war after we've spent trillions of dollars in Iraq and Afghanistan with very little to show for it was not the best way to put America first. Are we putting America first here?
Absolutely. That's why the president did what he did. In geopolitics and geostrategy, the moral imperative and the national security imperative can overlap, and in this case, they absolutely do, Laura.
How so?
Several reasons. So, number one, these are weapons of mass destruction, and the allowing the threshold for the use of weapons of mass destruction to be as low as it was in this case, where a government uses them against their own people, we cannot let that stand. Secondly, this is the war zone from which the threat to America is the greatest. Syria, Iraq, and Libya, these are the nations where ISIS is recruiting fighters, and some of those people are either being exported or are indoctrinating and are encouraging attacks against our allies in Europe and ourselves. Let's remember San Bernardino. Let's remember New York and New Jersey. The list goes on. So we need to have the conflict end, but it is essential for all of your listeners and those who voted for this administration to understand that the president in his fundamental outlook has not changed. I can guarantee that for you. The statements he made during the campaign and after January 20th that he has no interest, absolutely no interest, in invading other people's countries and occupying them, that has not changed. This was a surgical strike using cruise missiles, and all of our supporters and all of the taxpayers and American citizens need to understand the difference between what we did last night and 2005 and even 1991 with the first Gulf War. These are completely different qualities of military engagement.
This going back to 2013, what will we get for bombing Syria besides more debt and possible long-term conflict? Obama needs congressional approval. 2013, what am I saying? What I'm saying is stay out of Syria. It keeps going. Talks about how Obama would perhaps use a military strike to bring his poll numbers up, who at the time were sagging. How is that not a complete about-face from those comments?
I think you'd admit that the things you say when you're in a certain situation without the requisite experience that may come later shouldn't be held against you. You may have great ideas about what it means to be a parent, but you have no idea what it means to bear the responsibility once you have children. This is the same situation. What one says as a businessman who has not had a TSSCI clearance and sat in a situation room, or what one says on the campaign trail in a politically charged environment for a year, is incredibly different to the perspective you may have after you take on the mantle of the commander-in-chief, and you are the person responsible for the safety of all Americans. That's what experience tells us, and to judge people based upon statements they made when they were not in that position of responsibility.
So you're saying, Sebastian, really just so I understand, that Assad was a threat to the American homeland?
The use of chemical weapons in a war zone where ISIS is active, and the use of chemical weapons at this incredibly low threshold, is a threat to the U.S. homeland. Absolutely.
Right, but Assad used chemical weapons before, and Donald Trump didn't. I mean, that was obvious. He used chemical weapons before. We have 250,000 people dead. We have 70 people or 100 people dead in a horrific attack. But
Africa right now is seeing thousands
of children burned to death with flamethrowers, and Islamist guerrillas are going village to village in South Sudan. I mean, there are atrocities every day.
Remember,
so what's our strategic interest? I mean, our strategic interest in Africa with all of these atrocities being committed by the Islamists, and yet I haven't heard anything on that, anything.
Right. So let's remember one thing. This is not the Obama White House. We're not feckless and we're not spineless. Secondly, we don't look at the world as we would wish it to be, which was President Obama. We look at it as it is. These decisions were made in a cold, unemotional light of day. And the decision was taken that when you have the primary threat to the United States in terms of terrorism being based in Syria, in Iraq, where the caliphate was declared, and individuals are deploying weapons of mass destruction, that cannot be allowed to stand. That's a very simple and logical analysis. And the only nations that have a problem with it are Russia and Iran. And I think that tells you everything you need to know about the rectitude of this action that we took last night.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll see if Sebastian can stay on with us. Really illuminating conversation. We value him among a lot of the people in this administration. We value his viewpoint and his analysis of this. We'll stand with Sebastian. Your calls, 855-40-LAURA. More input as we go. Don't go away.
What are we actually trying to do? If we're trying to send a message, as we did with Gaddafi, where you try and change his behavior with this shock treatment, you say, hey, we're not going to tolerate this. The problem is that once you start down that road, you don't get to determine where that road ends. Because if the behavior doesn't change, do you keep going down that road? What starts out to be a raid ends up being a war.
It's called mission creep. It's plagued American geopolitical strategy before, military strategy, and a lot of warnings went up last night, a lot of support as well. That was Lieutenant Colonel Rick Francona. We'll hear from you, 855-40-LAURA. Do you think that this was smart for Donald Trump to act in a limited fashion, quickly? It was certainly not predicted by many when he was running in for president, and given some of his even more recent comments last week. But things change with the sarin gas attack. We continue with Dr. Sebastian Gorka, deputy assistant to the president. Dr. Gorka, how would you answer Lieutenant Colonel Francona? What starts up as being a raid, if you don't have a clear strategy going forward beyond that Assad shouldn't use chemical weapons, where does this end? What should the American people expect?
I know Rick. Rick's an old friend. But Rick needs to understand everything changed January 20th. We don't give our playbook away. So what's going to happen next? Nobody outside of the president's closest circle, Jim Mattis, Rex Tillerson, Steve Bannon, nobody knows that. And we're not going to tell anybody. That's why yesterday was a surprise attack. We don't telegraph in advance. All we know is that when evil happens and you are able to do something about it, you do something about it. This is the message we're sending the world. We're not here to fix everything. That's not what strategy and leadership is about. We're sending a very clear message. And I think the message has been understood in Damascus, in Moscow, in North Korea, in Iran as well. So what happens next depends upon many factors and depends upon primarily if Moscow gets to a point where it understands the client-state relationship is not one carved in stone. When your satrapy starts to do things, when your client state starts to do things like Assad is doing, there is a point at which the cost-benefit calculus breaks down. So let us wait and see how the key players react, and then you will see our reaction.
What the evidence that Assad was the one responsible for this chemical attack, what is that evidence?
We have the certitude for that. If you just stay in the open source unclassified domain, even on social media, you can see the track of the plane, the fixed-wing aircraft that dropped these gas, sarin weapons. So it's even in the most cursory Google search, you can see why the president and his cabinet had certitude that this was a government-launched attack.
And this, again, just so I'm clear, this did not require authorization from Congress because?
Because of the last 70 years of U.S. history. this is within the president's mandate to do a surgical strike. It's very important that your listeners and everybody who's on the Trump train, and even those who didn't vote for the president, understand not one pair of boots was put on the ground. This is a limited surgical strike targeting a specific facility at a certain time of day to absolutely minimize human casualties, but linked to the use of nerve agent against innocent women and children. That's what we did last night. This is not Gulf One. This isn't Afghanistan. This isn't Operation Iraqi Freedom. This is a message to do with weapons of mass destruction in a war zone where the jihadists are most powerful today. That's what we did last night. And mission creep is something that other administrations suffered from. With the people we have in the cabinet today, you can rest assured there will be no such thing as a mission creep.
China has apparently just expressed its opposition to the U.S. airstrikes last night. Does that surprise you?
Not at all. I mean, who are the friends of the Assad regime? This is a known quantity. It was Russia, it was China, and it was Iran. It is de rigueur. It is a requirement. This kind of statement is simply a requirement. Nevertheless, if you think about the context of North Korea and China, I think that Beijing may also be in a very different position this morning, thinking about its relationship to its client states. And that is also another aspect of what we did last night.
The president last night at Mar-a-Lago had a dinner before this these strikes were announced. And yes, he said he was honored to be meeting with the Chinese premier and to be having this meeting with him. They're calling it the Sunshine Summit. It might be somewhat overstated, but China commits horrific human rights abuses. There have been thousands upon thousands of Chinese babies killed, forced abortions. Christians have been driven underground. Thousands of Chinese languish in labor camps, re-education camps, depending on your perspective. But we're honored to sit with the Chinese. A lot of this just seems very confusing to people. Why are we honoring the Chinese given what they do, and yet we're launching missile strikes against Assad?
Very simple. It's absolutely. And look, you're not going to find any love lost with me and communist regime. My father was tortured by the secret police in the basement of a secret police facility. So, but the point is, again, we look at the world as pragmatists. Donald Trump was one of the most successful businessmen in one of the toughest fields in the world, real estate in New York. Yet he was a winner for decades. He looks at the world not as he wishes it to be, but as it is. There is evil everywhere, but we're not going to say we can solve it all. We're going to take a stand where it is in our interest and we are able to do something. This is the essence of being strategic. You don't surrender and say, I can't fix anything, nor do you say, I'm going to fix everything in the world, because you can't. Not even America can do that. So we will stand up when it is part of our national interest and we are capable of doing so. In this case, the moral imperative and the national security imperative completely overlapped. China is not Syria, and people need to understand that.
Lieutenant General Mark Hertling was on CNN last night, retired. He had some interesting comments, including this.
Where does all this end? Is there an operational plan? There is not a strategic plan, that this is not going into a deeper strategy, or at least a change strategy with Syria. I'm not sure what that means. What is expected next, other than changing the behavior of Assad?
And I know you said you're not going to talk about it, but when we're putting this much money into even a limited operation, I know people say $75 million is, what's $75 million, but it's money. I mean, we don't have any money. We're $19 trillion in debt. So at what point do we, Sebastian, come to the American people with more than, beautiful babies were killed, and really explain what our long-term strategic interest is in Syria? Again, just last week, we were leaving Syria to, Syria to figure out. But now it seems to be a big change. So when do we go to the American people and give a major address about this?
Yeah, that will happen. That will happen. But with due respect to the general, he has no idea what he's talking about when he says we don't have a strategy. He is not in a position to know that. You respect individuals who wear the cloth of the Republic, but once you retire, once you don't have a politically appointed office, you cannot make those kinds of comments. And his last sentence is a really interesting one. He said, "What else are we going to achieve except a difference in behavior from Assad?" Bingo, General, you got it. We have a plan, we have a strategy, and that's to stop the carnage in Syria. 500,000 people killed, but we're not going to do it with invasions or ground troops. This is not the neocon administration. This isn't Bush Mark III. This is Donald J. Trump. We are going to change the behavior of key actors and key supporters and sponsors. Why? Because the carnage needs to end. And that's exactly what the general highlighted. We're going to change behaviors. So the carnage will end, and then there will be a political resolution. But as every student of statecraft knows, diplomacy without the backing up of force behind it is just words. That's the last 8 years. That's the false red lines of the Obama administration. Diplomacy is worth zero if you're not prepared to use force. This president is prepared to use force, not ground troops, but cruise missiles, to send a very clear message. We will not let these actions stand.
Sebastian Gorka, it is always great to talk to you. Deputy Assistant to the President, thank you so much for joining us. Great commentary. We'll take a break on The Laura Ingraham Show. Coming up, David Axelrod. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.